Hey, it's Jake, and today I am joined with DJ Hunts. He is a comedy-centric TikTok creator out of Oceanside, California. He recently quit his job as an Amazon delivery driver to become a full-time content creator. We discuss that, his DJing, In-N-Out versus Whataburger, how he came up with what he does on TikTok, and much, much more. Before we get to the interview, don't forget about the bonus episode on Patreon. After the episode, head over to patreon.com/heyitsjakepod, and for $10 a month, you get a bonus episode with each guest episode. Thank you for listening, and let's get on to the show. All right, everyone. Today, I am joined here with DJ Hunts Official. You probably know him from TikTok. Welcome. How are you?
Doing good, man. Thanks for having me, bro.
You're welcome. I actually came across your account a little bit ago, but yesterday you popped back up in my For You page with your announcement that you were going full-time content creator.
That's right, man. Today's actually kind of like my first official, well, actually yesterday was more of a day off, but today feels like today I'm actually going to be like working hard to like make videos today.
That's awesome. How does that feel?
Ah, dude, it feels great, bro. It's exciting. It's so different, man. I've always like worked for like minimum wage. I've always had a job where I go and work for somebody. Now I'm working for myself, you know. I'm officially self-employed. I don't know what that's like. I have no clue what to expect, but so it's a little nerve-wracking.
Yeah,
but at the same time I'm like so excited about it.
You worked for Amazon. You were a delivery driver, I believe.
Yeah, delivery driver.
How was that?
Well, you know, just like with every job, bro, it has its ups and downs. Amazon was great, you know. I worked for Amazon before, like it was like a seasonal job, and this is what I was working for, like Amazon directly. I actually was working for like a third-party company of Amazon called Wolverine, and that's where I quit. But I worked for the Amazon before, which was like a dream job, which was like awesome. And then they let us go after, you know, basically after New Year's.
Yeah.
And then I worked in a taco shop for like a little bit. When COVID hit, I was like, am I gonna still have my hours here at the restaurant? And I was like, I'm thinking about starting moving. And then I got a buddy from one of my, I got a text message from one of my Amazon buddies. And he says, dude, Wolverine's hiring for like $16.50 an hour. And I was like, dude, sick. So I put my 2 weeks in at the taco place, started working there since from my April to March. And it was good, dude. You know, at times it was like rough because it was one of those jobs where you didn't really know when you were going to clock out. So it's kind of hard to plan around your day. So some days you would get off like super early and I'd be like, sweet, I got time to make TikToks, you know? And then some days you just get off at like 9:30, 10 o'clock and you're just like, ugh.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like one of those things. But I loved it. It's a great job.
Let's just take it back a little bit. Where are you from?
I am from born and raised in Oceanside, California. Still living here.
Were you always interested in making videos like as a child or, you know, in your teenage years?
Oh, man. No, honestly. No, I really wasn't, dude. You know, growing up, like when I was in junior in high school, I thought I really wanted to be like a SeaWorld trainer. That was kind of my ambition, my goal, because I loved orcas. Mm-hmm. I love killer whales. When I went to SeaWorld day and I saw them training whales, I thought that was like the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
So from my sixth grade in junior high all the way up to my senior year in high school, I was like, I had this goal. Like, I'm going to be a SeaWorld trainer. And then they came off the movie Blackfish, and to this day I've yet to watch it, and but I just knew that the trainers were getting in the water with the whales anymore. I was kind of just like, well,
yeah,
there goes my dream. But no, I you know, when it comes to like filming and stuff like that, I didn't get into it till I started working for David Lopez. He was a big Viner back in the day.
Yeah, okay. I was like, when you said that, I was like, where do I know that name from? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, he was a big Viner guy. He was the Juan guy, and he was looking for extras. We've kind of been friends before that. We went to the same church together. So I hit him up one day. I was like, dude, if you need some extras, dude, hit me up. So I just thought it was a cool thing to do, you know? So he hit me up and I got involved with that. I wasn't really been in trying to make my own videos at that time. I stood back from a distance and observed how he directed and how like the guy, Jordan, the guy who was filming for a lot of his videos, I watched how he set up and how he did lighting and how he did that. I just kind of took it all in just out of interest, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until like June of this year that I started getting serious curious about TikTok, started making skits. And I just took all the information I kind of learned with working with David Lopez and, and Jordan, and then put it to my use.
Yeah, I kind of feel like that's like the best way. I took some film classes and like we learned some stuff, but I've always felt like learning on set is the best way to kind of learn how to do this video, you know, in general.
Yeah, it's not like you're making like a, you know, a Marvel movie or anything like that. Something that's like, you know, high quality.
Yeah.
It's just like you're making stuff off your phone, you know? I've always been that person that's like, you know, I'm going to, with the equipment that I've got, I'm going to try to make the best video I can with what I have, with the talents that I can use, you know?
And I kind of think that's something that's amazing about like TikTok and being an online creator in general is you don't have to have the same quality that like a movie or TV show does. Like it kind of shows like if you're putting out, you know, if your characters are good or the stuff you're creating is good, people really at the end of the day don't really care if, you know, it's exactly perfect.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, even on TikTok, dude, I was just talking to my brother and his girlfriend earlier. It's like TikTok's also the one app where you can get viral for doing absolutely nothing too, you know? So you have like, you know, people just like literally do nothing, shake their head and bob it. And it's like, all right, 20 million likes, like just like that.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, here I am putting in with a green screen. I got lights. I got a tripod. And I'm just like struggling to get a million likes, dude. You know, and people bob their head and it's like 20 million like that. Like,
I've had that conversation with everybody I've interviewed, as everyone I've interviewed has put like a lot of effort into their videos. And then they're like, you know, sometimes the video that I just post randomly that is nothing, that's the one that does better than any of these that I work so hard on.
It's like, yeah, dude. It's like that bittersweet feeling. It's like, I didn't do nothing, but hey. And then this one I did put all the work in, didn't do as much, but it's like, hey, I still got the likes and the views. You know?
Yeah, exactly. It's all engagement. It's all, you know, helping.
Exactly.
They'll find your other stuff.
Yeah.
You're DJ Hunt, and I saw on your website, like, you actually DJ. I think that's awesome. How did you get into that?
Yeah, dude. Well, let me say it like this first. Right around, in high school and around my college years, I was really into, like, that screamo heavy metal that had electronic synths into it, kind of like bands like Attack, Devil Wears Prada, Asking Alexandria. I was really, really much into that electronic mix with, like, heavy metal music. I thought that was just, like, this is amazing, you know? So when I went to go do, I went to England, and I went to do Bible college, and one of my best friends at the time, he was like an old school DJ that came here too, and he was kind of like telling me about DJing and getting into it, and I was really interested in the electronic music at the time. So he introduced me, he told me about this app that you can download, and I had an iPod Touch back in the day at the time. So it was like, I think it was like $2.99 at the time to download the app, and I just said, screw it, let's download it. And I started playing with it, and I just got really into it. As it progressed years later, I ended up buying my own equipment and started DJing events, did concerts, did festivals, you know, and it was just a real good passion of mine.
I noticed, especially on like your Instagram account, a lot of your like earlier posts was a lot to do with that stuff.
Once I heard about Twitch coming out, that was a live streaming. It was like a live streaming platform. I was like, dude, that'd be sick. So, and at the time, not a lot of DJs were DJing on Twitch, and I was like, dude, that could be like one of the forerunners. And so I bought green screens, and this is where I got the green screen. I got the lights. I got the tripod, cameras, and computer. And that's where I really went all out as far as as far as my DJ career goes, was like getting on Twitch, you know, and start DJing and try to put something out there that nobody else is really doing at the time. So that explains my earlier posts on Instagram.
I think it was on your Twitch, I saw you talked about mixing Christian music with like EDM, and that's something like, I don't know personally a lot of like Christian music, but I do think that was awesome because that is something that I've never heard of.
Yeah, bro, you'd be surprised, you know, with some of these Christians, bro. I mean, obviously there's like a very generic genre when it comes to Christian music, especially it's usually this, you know, same chord, same this. There was this one group, there was this DJ group, and they were called Capital Kings, bro, and these guys, I mean, dude, whether you're Christian or not, whether you like that or not, dude, look these guys up, bro. These guys had talent. They were really great DJs, bro.
I've heard of their name, I feel like.
Yeah. Just don't look at the mainstream stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Look up, like, you gotta look up, like, the, you know, like, the other songs. Like, they could play, dude. They could really play. I was really inspired by that. You know, being a Christian myself and listening to these Christian DJs, I was just like, dude, more of these guys, please. Yeah, I really try to like bounce off that, you know, and started like taking like Christian songs, worship songs, and kind of integrating it with like house music, EDM beats, or even just like not even Christian songs, but just very good vibe, very influential.
Yeah.
Positive, you know, meaning behind songs, you know, and started integrating those into like house music. So
yeah, I listened to your mix on YouTube of that NF song.
NF, yeah, why? Yeah, Let You Down.
Yeah, I really like that song, and that mix was pretty. I really like that. That was cool.
Yeah, I had fun making that one, bro. And it was kind of weird because at that time, I think I was going through like some. I was like going a little bit of depression. I was a little bit down mm-hmm. on myself. And when I heard that song, I was just like, dude, this is a song I needed to hear, you know?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I think NF is probably like one of the greatest, if not the best, rap artist there is out there. And I'm not just saying that because he's a Christian or he's clean, mm-hmm. but he can spit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it just, his music goes so deep. And that song really touched me. And so I was like, dude, I wonder if I could try to make a mix out of it. So I started playing with it. And then came up with these two other songs that just like blended very well with that song. And so yeah, I made, so then I posted it up on YouTube and kind of glad it's not taken down for copyright reasons, you know?
Yeah. I feel like with that, you made it your own. I feel like maybe you could do fair use.
Yeah.
For TikTok, did you think about going with the DJ stuff?
I did. If you actually go to scroll down to like one of my earlier posts on TikTok, I actually have one video.
Mm-hmm.
I did a Twitch stream and I posted up like this one clip from my Twitch stream up onto TikTok. And it didn't do well. It mm-hmm. didn't do well. So that's kind of where I kind of like got a little discouraged and was like, maybe I shouldn't post my DJ stuff on TikTok. And because I downloaded TikTok like probably like a year ago, year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, just like everyone else, I was just downloading it to have fun, watch videos, and yeah. something to do. Yeah, I posted that up and I was thinking, maybe this will do well. Maybe this will be something. It didn't do well. So I was like, okay, well, I probably won't do that again then. Find something else to post up on. Just keep it over with the Twitch streams and keep it like that, you know?
Yeah, I did look at some of your earlier stuff. I saw your first post on there is April 12th, 2018. Was there stuff before that or... like you've deleted? Because I know some people, like, once they started getting popular, they were like, I'm gonna take this cringy early stuff down.
Yeah, I thought about, you know, taking down some of the earlier stuff for the ones where it has nothing to do with what I'm doing now with these skits. It's mm-hmm. just like, you know, just random. Like, I think the first post I was with my brother. We were like driving to get coffee and we saw someone's license plate.
Yeah,
we just started making fun of trying to what it was saying, and I was just like, whatever, you know. But you know, the thing about it is like, you know, that's the beauty of it. But that's the beauty of like where you started and mm-hmm. now where you're at, you know? You know, and I think that's a good thing because people want to, you know, because I think that inspires people. It's like, dude, this is where DJ Hunt started
mm-hmm.
with this random TikTok video of him trying to make fun of someone's license plate.
Yeah.
And here he is now, 2020, with 3.3 million followers making legit comedy skits, mm-hmm. you know? It tells a story.
I agree. I really like to see that story myself. That's why when I've talked to some people and they're like, I've deleted the earlier stuff, I'm like, I wish they had kind of left it because I want to see their growth and like what they were. Like you said, a lot of people just downloaded it to kind of have fun and weren't really looking to, you know, get this huge following.
Right, exactly.
How did you get into taking comedy sketches and or comedy, I guess, monologues and turning them, doing the voiceovers and all of that? Like, where did that idea come from?
I did see it on TikTok first. I did see, mm-hmm. I think the first one I saw was like someone who took this comedian, Mitch Luckberg, he was a comedian. And mm-hmm. someone took his stand-up comedy act, and it was a joke I've heard before.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, I know that joke. And this guy kind of put a skit together with it, and I was just like, that's really cool. So that's when I first saw it. When I decided to start doing it, and I started doing it when all the riots were coming to like a high,
mm-hmm.
and I was working, I was just very nervous. I mean at Amazon they says, okay, we're not delivering over here,
mm-hmm.
Because there's a protest going on over there, and I just was just like stressing out. I had so much anxiety at that time. And so, and then on TikTok, that's just all you would see, all these protests and stuff like this. Like, mm-hmm. bro, I'm sick of that. I don't want to see any more of that. I want something like to get my mind off that because I'm stressing out about it. So that's when I came to the realization, I need to do something to take my mind off this. I need to do something that's like that makes me happy, not so anxious. And so that's when I first posted I Before E Always, and that's like the first skit I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to do it, and I had my brother in it with me, so it's which is even better.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when I started doing that, and then came out with the Pop Tart one, which I think was the one I really started getting a lot of views, a lot of following,
mm-hmm.
at that point. So that's kind of where it really started, was just from coming from a place of just filling with anxiety and stress. And it's like, dude, I need to do something. When my TikTok account, I kind of want to really stay away from getting political, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, I think I am going to start making, I'll probably take some comedy skits that it's about politics, but it's not like my point of view, you should vote this or you should vote yeah. that, you know? It'll just be fluff like that. But I try not to get political with anybody. Live streams, TikToks, I just like, that's, I don't want people to be inspired from my political views, mm-hmm. or be, you know, hate me for my political views. I don't want that to be a division between people. In my opinion, I think today's politics has been the biggest divide mm-hmm. in our country or has ever seen.
Did you ever think you would be doing comedic stuff?
No.
No? Are you like a funny person in real life?
I would say I try to be, you know? Here's the thing, dude. In high school, I think I was the guy who was trying to be the class clown.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't. I was that weird kid, bro. I'm just when it comes to like witty stuff, when it comes to like, you know, coming with some funny stuff like that quick, I don't do it that well, man. Mm-hmm. I'm just not. I just don't come up with things that quick, you know. Yeah. It's like some of these comedians do, dude. I'm like the guy who's got like, all right, I gotta make a joke, and it's gotta be funny. Let's write it out. Let's plan it.
Yeah.
Let's tell it to somebody, make sure, see if they laugh. And if it's not laughing, then maybe not do it. And then once I get some people that I think are funny, and then we'll go for it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, it's funny you mentioned that, because I had a lot of people say, dude, you should do your own stuff. And I was just like, I don't know about that. But then I came out with my first story time about our dog, Milo,
mm-hmm.
and how, like, you know, I didn't hook him on the leash and then he ran off. And I was just like, let's just try it. Let's just go for it. So I made this. So I recorded myself, because I was like, I was going to do like another comedy skit, but I wasn't feeling it.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, let me just record myself and tell a story, put that in the audio, and then record a skit of it and see how it does. And I was super nervous when I posted up that first story time video, man. I was just like, dude, this is, I was just as anxious with it came to, like, you know, but it actually did really well. And I was like, dude, it was really inspiring. So I was like, man, maybe I should start trying to do my own comedy stuff.
Yeah, that's actually something I had written down, was you did one about the airport, being at the wrong airport.
Oh, yeah.
At first, I was like, wait, this is his voice. I looked at the sound and I was like, that's him. And so you recorded it. Then you did all that, which is really cool.
Yeah.
And actually, when I was watching that, I was like, he could be an actual comedian himself. And that's what they do. I mean, I feel like a lot of them, they, you know, workshop jokes. They're, mm-hmm. I don't think all of them are probably, you know, funny, like, you know, just, you know.
Yeah, I'll like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's just cool that you kind of like do these like dramatizations of their comedy. I think that's what's really appealing, like, for me to watch it.
Yeah, I'm like that. And I think it works out well for me, is because I'm that guy who kind of carries this heart on his shoulder. So my mm-hmm. my face, I can tell you the whole story. I can tell you my whole life just with my face. I just mm-hmm. am that kind of guy that kind of just like, you know that I'm sad, because you look at my face like, dude, he's depressed. Or you know that I'm angry, because you look, because even if I'm trying to, I can't hide it. I can't mm-hmm. hide my emotions. And then of course with my lazy eye, that just gives it like an extra extra bonus, you know. So I just use that to my advantage, bro. And then I listened to these comedians growing up. I thought about making something funny, and I was like, why not just like use the whole lazy eye and my facial expressions and see how it goes, you know.
Well, it seems to be working. Who are your favorite comedians?
Tim Hawkins, definitely, for sure. I respect him so much. He just has a lot of funny stuff. And then I love Brian Regan. He was like one of the first comedians I like listened to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole boxing and moosing. That was like one of the OG jokes I first heard of him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I love Jim Gaffigan with his Hot Pockets and his jokes like that. So really funny guy and clean, you know, and I really respect those. Those are like my top three guys that I listen to the most.
And I was going to say they show up a lot in your content as well.
Yeah.
Have any comedians that you've done these videos, have any of them, like, do you know if they've like, have they reached out and been like, I've seen this?
Out of all the comedians I've done, and I have tried to reach out to like Tim Hawkins, Brian mm-hmm. Regan, and Jim Gaffigan, none of those three ever got back to me. The one guy who did, it was just this, it was like a sound I found on TikTok, and it was Dan Cummings. He hit me up, I posted up on Instagram that I did on TikTok, and he commented down below, bro, oh, this is freaking awesome. And I was just like, dude, thank you. You're like the first comedian to like recognize your jokes with my skits, you know? So he was like the one guy who reached out.
Cool. That's awesome. As I wondered, I'm like, what, going through all these, and I'm like, they've at least, even if they haven't reached out, they've at least had to see them somehow.
I wonder about that, man. I truly wonder if they really have seen, like, especially the mom's advice one. I would have figured like Tim Hawkins, either good or bad, would have like, you know, hit up to me as like would have saw this video that I made. That, in my opinion, I think it's like the one that did the best mm-hmm. out of them all. I would have thought he would say something, you know, but but I'm sure you've seen it, man. I just, you know, I don't know.
Well, you know, I feel like fans probably like tweet at them and they're like, watch this, it's funny. Like, I could, like, you know, you see people do that all the time. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another one that you've done that I saw two. There may be more, but the Musical Beards duet. Those are so funny. I had never seen his videos, and so
yeah, dude, Pizza Beard Party is like the OG, bro. He's like from the Vine days too, and he just like, you know, went with the flow, went from Vine to mm-hmm. probably musically. I don't know what he did.
Yeah,
but definitely went from Vine to TikTok. Yeah, he started doing these musical beards, and I was like, oh, I remember never seeing that back in the day. And I was like, well, I have a nice beard. I wonder if I can rock out with this guy, you know? And sure enough, Dear Maria, all-time low, yeah, he did that. And
mm-hmm.
That did pretty well. And so then he hit me up. I was like, dude, this is awesome. And so now we got like this, it's like our little band, the Musical Beards.
I was going to say, it's a band.
Yeah. So every time he posts up his musical beard, he always tags me. He's like, "Yo, time to get the bag next, man." And I'm like, "That dude, let's go." Those are always fun to do.
Yeah, and they're fun to watch because it's just, I don't know, something about the beard, like being an instrument, like that's just it's funny. And you know, it's something so simple. So it's something I'm like, why didn't I think of that? You know,
right?
So you also kind of give your fans updates, like, you know, when stuff like kind of happens to you, and like I saw your hit and run video. I thought that was kind of like cool that you kind of gave those people like a shout out, like just thank you. Did that get sorted out?
Oh yeah, that got sorted out. Okay. Real fast, man. That yeah, dude, no, seriously, thanks. Those two guys were awesome, bro. Like, talk about like good Samaritans, bro. Mm-hmm. They really were. Yeah, dude, I was just like leaving my house, and I'm going down this road, and I see this car pulling out. And it's pulling out pretty wide, but in my mind, I'm thinking she's not gonna try to get in the far out lane. And sure enough, bam! Yeah. I'm like, yep, oh no, she did. And then I do this whole like 360 wow. in the middle of the road. She books it, and I'm like, are you kidding me? I didn't know it at the time, but those two people, they were behind me driving, and they saw everything that went down, and they went after the lady that did the whole hit and run. They get her license plate, mm-hmm. they get a description of the vehicle, they get a description of her. And while I'm just like trying to pull my truck out of the middle of the road and park on the sidewalk, they come up and they basically say, hey dude, the lady, that person who hit you, we got her license plate information. I was just like, yes, thank yeah. you. Seriously, thank you. Because I was at that point, I was like, do I call the cops? I mean,
yeah, I wouldn't know what to do. That's why I'm like, I need to hear
like,
more.
What can they do? Like, what do I do? You know? But once they came up, I was like, yeah, I'm going to call the cops. And they came up, and they even stayed when the cops came, and they gave their point, their testimony mm-hmm. to what happened, as to what they saw. Gave him all the information. I gave the information. The craziest part about that, bro, before the cops showed up, me and the couple that got her information, we were like on the sidewalk, and that same lady who hit me comes back up, doesn't even look at us, goes right past us, and goes right into apartment homes, right into her apartment home. And I was just like, you've got to be kidding me. And she was, I don't know, maybe she was just like scared or nervous. She didn't know what to do either. She was like old. She was like in her 70s,
oh, okay, 80s. Yeah.
One of the, you know, she's probably thinking at this point, like, I'm about to lose my license for life. And so it got all sorted out.
That's good.
I'm still waiting to hear from my insurance about what to do with my truck,
mm-hmm.
you know? Because I do got a bit, it's like, you know, honestly, I'm kind of grateful because that could have been definitely a lot worse.
Yeah.
Lot
especially,
more damage.
Especially if you like spun around.
Oh, yeah.
There was enough force to do that.
Yeah. I think my spare tire came off, and for like a second, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I lost a wheel.
Yeah.
I mean, I did, but it wasn't like on my truck at the time, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I wasn't driving on it. So yeah, it's a big dent, but it's not like near my door. It's just like on the bed of the truck, and I'm just like, it's still drivable.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like really grateful. Nobody got hurt. Everybody's fine. And I was just like, I was really grateful that for the damage that did happen,
mm-hmm.
knowing that it could have been a lot worse.
Definitely. Another one of your videos I want to talk about is you did an In-N-Out versus Whataburger.
Oh, no.
Now,
You're from Kentucky, right?
Yes, and I lived in Florida. And I've had I actually don't have, like, a dog in the fight, I feel like. Because I've been to California. Okay. didn't get to have In-N-Out, though, when I was out
you
there.
You went to California and never had In-N-Out.
Every time I went, it was like, the line was forever long, and I'm like, it can't be this good. And everyone's like, no, you wait in that line.
You wait in that line. Yeah.
But anyway, I've had Whataburger, and so when people started like debating them, like just seeing what I've seen, I'm like, Whataburger to me doesn't even seem like it would be able to compare to In-N-Out.
Okay.
It looks like just like a normal, regular fast food burger. And I've had Whataburger. In-N-Out looks like something else. It looks like an experience.
So when I was filming the whole Whataburger versus In-N-Out, one of the deleted scenes, I didn't put in the TikTok, but it was one of my deleted scenes where it was like my first impression, walked into Whataburger, I was like, dude, this is just like Burger King.
Yeah.
This is Burger King. I got the Burger King feels out of it.
I almost said Burger King a minute ago.
Yeah. Okay, I'm not alone. All right.
No.
Good. But yeah, I walk in, I was just like, I'm looking at the menu, I'm like, how many things? And you're going to compare it to In-N-Out that has like three? It's like 12. It's like 12 things on the menu, bro. I'm like, I don't even know what to get to do a fair comparison. So I went and was just like, all right, a Whataburger. Let's go. Let's go with this normal Whataburger. If I'm gonna do it fair, I'm gonna cheeseburger to cheeseburger. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. And when I tried it, it's no different than me going home, putting a burger on the grill, frying it, put mustard on it. And I'm like, it's the same thing. You know?
Yeah.
Whereas In-N-Out was just like, dude, like, and maybe it's a little bit more biased in my opinion, but. I grew up in California, but it was just so much different. Mm-hmm. It really was. And I almost thinking, why is there a competition between these two? But to be fair, I mean, this is after the video now. I posted it and people hate me for it now. I did try Whataburger again and I got like, I forgot what it was called, but it was like a spicy burger. It was like a spicy, tangy kind of burger.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember eating that and I was like, now that's really good. I should have gotten that in comparison to In-N-Out, because I was like, that's what they should just delete everything off of the menu and just have that.
I feel like going to Whataburger, not comparing it to anything, you're going to have a good experience. But then comparing it to In-N-Out, like I have never had it. I'm still like, when people do that, I'm like, how are you comparing the two? One of the videos that I don't know why it didn't go viral, because I thought it was hilarious, is when you, I guess you worked at Home Depot and you asked the older woman, you were filming her and you asked her how old she was. Her face when she looks up, like, it's like the kill.
The kill, yeah. Yeah, dude. So I was working at Home Depot at the time. We're going way back, bro. You take a OG, bro. So these are the OG days. No, yeah, me and Harry, we were just good friends. We worked together. We were really cool. I made one video before where I smacked a beanie off the like off the counter or something like that, and she just gave me that look again, and I was like, yeah, that did pretty well for doing that. And you know, people don't even, I don't think people realize I was working in Home Depot when I made that video. I think they were just thinking I was just some random customer. Did another one with her again, and I just thought that'd be a funny idea if I asked her how old she was and just give me that death glare.
When it comes to TikTok in general, and now that you're, you know, doing this full time on your own, what is your dreams, goals? Like, what are you wanting to happen, like, within the next year and beyond?
That's a great question, man. That's interesting to think about, bro. I mean, I think, honestly, I'm the kind of guy who's just going to try to take it one day at a time and just kind of focus on today and just try to make, you know, on the best videos I can make today. But I guess one of my goals, and I've been wanting to do this even while I wasn't full-time social media, I want to do collabs with, you know, some other big TikTokers, verified people, you know, make skits and just continue to make great comedy. But yeah, dude, obviously I want this to like stay stable. I want this to be my full-time thing that actually works out and continues to grow. Hopefully maybe it comes to a point where it becomes bigger than just TikTok, you know, maybe it becomes like voice acting or maybe starring in movies, even if it's like a, you know, an extra or something like that, to where it's getting bigger and bigger. Because I think eventually, just like with a lot of social media apps, it's eventually going to die out. Like it's eventually going to fade out, you know? So I guess I would be thinking like, all right, what can I do? How can I take what I've done with TikTok and take it to the next level, whether it be like doing stand-up comedy, actually getting out there and doing stand-up comedy jokes, or maybe with DJing, taking that out, or even combining comedy mixes with like DJ, trying to make something like that. So that's kind of what I'm thinking of. Just thinking, you know, long-term, keep doing what I'm doing now, but at the next level.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that level may be.
Does it, now that you've taken this step, I don't want to give you like anxiety, but like the talk about like TikTok possibly being banned, like what does that do for you?
Oh my gosh, bro. I'm so sick of tired of hearing that ban, dude.
I don't think it's going to happen, but.
It's not going to happen, bro. TikTok's a freaking billion-dollar company, bro.
So you have, as of this interview, 3.3 million followers. When you hear that number, like what do you feel? Like, Like, how fast did that happen? Did that just happen in the last few months?
Last few months, bro. Ever since I put up the I Before E and the, mm-hmm. the Pop-Tart video, it's just been skyrocketing from there. And then putting out Mom's Advice and then putting out John Mulaney. I don't know. Everybody loves John Mulaney for some reason, bro. On a personal note, because those are the videos that, like, have done the best for me. Those mm-hmm. are the ones I get, like, the, you know, the 20 million views, like, the 3 million likes. Mm-hmm. And personally for me, I listen to this John Mulaney skit, and I'm thinking, why is this funny? I'm not laughing. Like, but it's, like, got all these hits and all these things. And I'm just like, well, whatever. Let's go for it, you know? But when, you know, sorry. Yeah, this did happen all within a few months. Just when I see the progression that it has taken in just these few short, what, 4 or 5 months now? Mm-hmm. I think to myself, I was just like, one, I think I found my niche mm-hmm. and I really want to try to capitalize on that, you know, and try to make the best out of it. I've got my website up now, trying to sell merch to stay financially stable. No. You know, when I think about that, bro, I just think it's just like, wow, I'm just grateful, honestly. Mm-hmm. Cause I didn't even know this was a talent I had. I didn't figure this out till June of this year, you know, and people just love it and people are just want more of it. And mm-hmm. when I think about that, I think about like, did I have 3.3 million people that I need to keep entertained, you know, that I want to continue to make people laugh. I want people to come to this and to escape from whatever dealing with, you know, because I've had people who hit me up on Instagram saying, hey, I've been going through such a rough time due to such and this. And dude, when I listen to your videos, bro, it just makes me laugh and it just makes me so happy. I'm just like, that's what it's about. Mm-hmm. Like that's like, for lack of words, that's my ministry. That's my goal right here is to get people's mind off that negativeness, getting people not be anxious and just finding some hope, finding some way to escape so they can relax. So that's kind of what goes through my head when I think about the amount of followers I have. I was like, I think of it as like it's my ministry or it's my job now to keep them entertained, you know. It's making a difference in their lives, or it's helping them to move on with their lives.
That's great to give people and to know that you're giving people a chance to kind of, you know, escape. Like, you know what you're doing is working. How did it feel like when you like first opened the app and started seeing, oh, I'm getting like thousands and thousands of followers? Like, you, like, was that scary?
Or... It was like a rush. It was like an adrenaline rush, bro. It was like crazy to see. You know, I was like, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, like one of those moments where I was just like shocked. Mm-hmm. I was like, dude, I got something here, bro. This is something big.
Was it hard to, you know, we talked about you know, leaving Amazon. Was it hard to go to work? Like, did you feel like, you know, do you not know who yeah. I am? Like, I could be doing this, like, but I'm doing this, like.
Yeah. It was just like, it was hard because especially, it was usually doing work. Cause I would like, cause when I was like delivering, I would like listen to comedy skits to see if I, you know, to see like what would be a good idea, what would be a good skit idea, listening to these jokes, you know, kind of preparing for my next TikTok. Mm-hmm. And then I would have one and I'd be so excited to like want to make it, but then I'm like stuck, you know, delivering 100 packages right now and I won't be off for like another 4 hours.
Yeah.
And 4 hours later, I get off work, I'm exhausted, mm-hmm. you know, I'm like, I lost a lot of motivation. And so, but I would still be motivated enough to like, even though it's like 10 o'clock at night right now, I'm still going to punch in the time card and make this skit because I know people are gonna like it. I know I'm gonna like it. Mm-hmm. I know it makes me feel good. It makes me feel motivated. It gives me that confidence to work hard, and I do it. But it would be hard because I would get off like I told, I would get off work really late. The boxing and moosing skit with Brian Regan, I got off work at 9:30, and I was motivated to make this skit. And so 9 o'clock at 9:30 at night, I Google, okay, is there a donut shop open, because I want to have that 2 boxes of donuts while I make this skit. And Dunkin' Donuts was open, mm-hmm. and I, you know, pull up to the drive-thru, and I did say I'll like 2 boxes of donuts, please. And just, you know, maybe they'll say something, maybe they won't. It's 10 o'clock at night, what do they care, you know? Came home and then started filming. And I think it took like a good 2 hours to make it. So, you know, it's midnight at night and I got to go to work the next morning. So,
yeah.
So it's hard, man. It was hard.
You did the hard work and it's paid off.
It's paying off, yeah.
Very, very rewarding. Your profile picture, like your logo, how did that come to be?
Yeah,
it's,
man,
so, and it's eye-catching, that's why I'm asking.
So when I was posting these skits, you know, I like to go through the comments and read people's what they're saying about the video, like them, comment back. One of the comments I saw was like, hey, Dan Povermine has followed you. And my first thought was like, who's Dan Povermine? And I click on his profile page, like, oh, he's the guy that created Phineas and Ferb, that guy.
Okay. Oh, okay.
When I saw that, I was like, dude, this guy's following me? Like, heck yeah, bro. Like, I'm grateful, dude. I can't believe that. So I thought about, I was like, dude, what's a good way to like get Dan's, really, really get Dan's attention? And I thought about, well, I got the eyes. Let's do a whole Perry the Platypus skit, you know? You know, Perry the Platypus, typed it in, found the audio with like Dan Doofenshmirtz, and I was just like, that's it right there. Bought some acrylic paint. I think it was body paint. Maybe it wasn't. I don't know. To this day, I still don't know. I still don't know. Like, you know. And then, painted myself all teal, got the hat, got the duck nose, and just try to put the eyes on and go for it, make this whole skit. And sure enough, Dan Poverman duetted that video. And I was, at that point, I was like, dude, that was a huge accomplishment for me, just doing that and having Dan duet that. Because of that, my buddy, Jeff the Real Raspberry, he was like this artist, he first drew me as like SpongeBob. And then I said, dude, is there a way that you can do Perry the Platypus? Because like, that was like a big accomplishment. I was like, dude, if you can do that, bro, like, dude, I'll market that like crazy. And then sure enough, he drew a whole face of me, that logo, as me as Perry the Platypus, and I was just like floored, and I was just like, yes, that's my new profile pic. That's what I'm gonna use to sell merch with. That's what I'm gonna use to, like, you know, this is DJ Hunts right here, Perry the Platypus himself with his beard, teal face. And I was like, that's it.
And that's a great story how it came to be. I knew there had to be a story behind it. So.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
It just hit me while you were talking. I think another reason why, like, this is what you do is kind of in a similar way of like Drunk History on Comedy Central. They have reading the story and then the dramatization. So that I think that maybe that's another reason why like it appeals.
Yeah, it's funny too. I never actually watched an episode of Drunk History.
It's basically the actors are lip syncing to the drunk comedian talking. So you don't have the drunk part, but like you're lip syncing to, you know, the comedian. So it's like undrunk history.
Right.
I'm asking all my October guests, what is your favorite Halloween costume you ever had?
Great question, bro. My favorite Halloween costume, I got two, because I feel like, because I won when I was younger, bro. My favorite costume was Wolverine.
Okay.
I was a big Wolverine fan, big old school X-Men fan. That was one of my favorites. Today, I think my favorite costume, and I actually made it, bro. I was a big Deadmau5 fan, so I literally went out to build my own Deadmau5 head.
That's awesome.
And I went all out, spray painted it with like glow in the dark green, had like green cotton put all around it, and you know, I just went all out on that one, just trying to make my own Deadmau5 head. And you know, me being a DJ, I was like, dude, if I'm gonna play a Deadmau5 song, dude, I'm gonna like freaking pull it out and party, you know what I'm saying? And so that I would say that was probably my favorite costume.
Awesome. Yeah, that's cool. All right, well, thank you again for doing this interview. If you guys want to follow, you follow him on TikTok at DJ Hunts Official, and on Instagram he is DJ Hunts.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with DJ Hunts. Again, go follow him on social media, on TikTok at DJ Hunts Official, and on Instagram at DJ Hunts. You can find the podcast on everything social media at It's Jake Pod, and you can follow me personally on TikTok at RealJakeLX. If you have any questions regarding this episode or past episodes, send me a message at email heyitsjake@gmail.com. Just be sure in the subject line to let me know what episode you are referencing. An email episode will be coming up in the future, and I will answer those questions then. And if you'd be so kind to subscribe to the show if you haven't already, and if you are subscribed, please leave a 5-star review. It really helps the show. And if you want on the review, just comment DJ Hunts so I know that you actually listened to this specific episode when you left the review. Thank you for listening and subscribing to Hey It's Jake, and another great episode with another great content creator is coming your way next week.